Hello, beautiful friends who want to get rich. Let's go. You guys ready? Okay. Hi. Well, hello. Nice to see you. We are definitely doing some coaching today. I see you all that want to be coached. It's all good. All right. Today, we are going to talk about, carry on, Dom says. We're going to talk today about what happens when you start to get rich. We've kind of set up this course, how to get rich, and what are the, you know, steps that you need to take, the way you need to think, and the actions that you need to pursue. But if you do follow what I recommend, and you do kind of process everything that you're capable of in terms of your capacity, you will start to get rich. It will happen. And as you start to get rich, if you are predictably like most of us, you will start. I don't look at this one hair didn't get curled. Look how sad. I'm going to hide it. You will go through a process that I have watched hundreds now of my students go through of getting rich and freaking out. And the concepts that I want to cover today are upper limit issues. And I'm trying to remember the author of the book. Somebody tell me who wrote it. Oh God. Who wrote the upper limit book? Will someone put it in there for me? You get to these upper limit issues where you get to the top of your capacity, your current ability, and you start freaking out. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about imposter syndrome, where as you become more and more rich and more successful, you start feeling like an imposter in a world that you don't belong in. We're going to talk about other people's opinions and how as you start to change, as you start to make more money, you will inevitably get pushback from the people around you because they're human beings and they don't want you to change and they'll think you're changing in some negative way. And your own self-sabotage. When you start doing upper limit and imposter and other people's opinions, you will start inadvertently sabotaging yourself without even realizing it and causing yourself to make less money when you could be pursuing more money. So this is basically how it works. Yes, Gay Hendricks. Thank you. Now it's filled with Gay Hendricks. Thanks. Oh, there it is. Okay. It's The Big Leap. It talks about upper limit issues and it's Gay Hendricks. Thank you guys. Such a good book. And basically the way that I want to teach it to you and for you to understand this concept is based on the model. And so when you think about your current model, and we've done some work on this already, but this is really important. I do this work a lot. Look at your current result in your life. And so whatever that is, how much money you're making a year, how much your total revenue is, how much you're making an hour, whatever you're measuring your current income by, put that in your R line. Okay, this is your current model. What are you currently doing? So for me, that would be 50 million per year. What are you currently doing? What are the current actions that you're taking to create that $50 million a year? What are your current feelings and what are the thoughts that are creating those results? Now, when we look at me and what I'm thinking and what I have been thinking that have been creating those results, that's different than the model I'm going to have at 100,000. And as soon, so you do your current model based on your current reality, and then you do your model based on the R line being the money that you want to make. So for example, for me, that would be 50 million in my R line currently, and 100 million in my R line of what I want. Now, my current identity is established in this current model, right? In this 50 million model. And this is why, and I talked about this in our last call, so many people are able to maintain that current R line, doesn't matter which career they go into, right? They've established themselves in this model. This becomes your new identity, becomes your new outfit that feels pretty comfortable. You've become kind of accustomed to and identified with the current thought, feeling, action, result model. But as you move into a new model, you experience what we call cognitive dissonance, where you have two thoughts. And the way that I like to think about it is you have two thoughts that are competing for your identity. They're competing for a home, for a place to live inside your brain. And while you're in between those two thoughts, you are going to experience the cognitive dissonance, which will create anxiety. And it may come in the form of upper limit issues, self-sabotage, imposter syndrome. And as you're kind of in that weak spot in between models, you are very vulnerable to other people's thoughts and opinions. It's almost like the way that you think about it, it's almost like those two models are competing for your life. They're competing for you to believe in them. But your brain loves to stay the same. Your brain loves something it's already doing, because if it's already doing it and you're still alive, it's happy. It means we can survive doing this. It doesn't know about new things. It doesn't know about new models. It doesn't know about new feelings, new actions, all of that. That could kill us. So you're always going to be preempted and bias for your current model. And your brain's going to always look for evidence of why you should stay the same. So let's say, and this happens to a lot of you a lot of the time, even on a bunch of these calls, where you get a new client or you get a new job or you get an influx of money. And all of a sudden you start to freak out a little bit. Like emotionally, you're in the cognitive dissonance. You've made more money than your current model is justifying for you. And you either have to keep going and make more money or you have to go back. I am so familiar with this pattern and I've seen it so clearly with clients who are trying to lose weight. And you've seen it too with people who lose a lot of weight and then they gain it all back. And one of the things that they say is like, oh, what they were eating wasn't sustainable. That's not true. You can stay on a diet for the rest of your life. You genuinely can. You can stay on that diet. Many people do. They eat the same thing every day. It's totally fine. They maintain their weight. But what happens is their identity can't make sense of it. They can't understand being a person that eats only this food and is at this weight. And so there's so much self-sabotage that happens to regain the identity as somebody who is a certain weight, somebody that has a certain amount of money. It's like the status quo. I believe that one of the reasons why this happens is because of the idea that it's better there than here, hopefulness that actually brings us happiness. Think about this for a minute. If I am unhappy right now in any way, but I know that when I lose weight, I'll be happy. I know that when I make money, I'll be happy. There's this sense of anticipation and promise within my psyche that makes me happier now, because it's kind of like, let's say you're going on a trip to Hawaii. I'm actually in Hawaii right now, so that's funny. But you're going on a trip to Hawaii. You're already experiencing the happiness of going to Hawaii, even though you're not there yet. But it's thinking about, oh, that I'll have that opportunity, right? When you get there and you've lost all the weight, or you get there and you've made all the money, or you're getting the clients, or you are successful, first of all, it feels totally out of sorts because it's not identifying with your current identity, and your brain freaks out because it thinks it won't survive. Private, but also you've now lost the hope and the promise of the perfect life that is somewhere in the future that you think money's going to give you or that your weight's going to give you. And the truth is, being rich is not going to make you happy. Being happy is an emotion you create with your mind, and being rich is the amount of money you may make from becoming successful. They're totally separate things. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't try to get rich, because I think you should. I think you should understand the power of your own brain. I think you should understand your ability to create money with your brain is an amazing skill to understand that you have that is probably underutilized, but it is not going to make you a happier person. It's just not. You may change your thoughts and feel happier, but you won't be happier because of the money. You'll be happier because you changed your thoughts. So this is what you have to remember as you're transitioning from one level of income to another. For those of you that it's weight loss, from one current weight to another, you have to understand you will go through an identity crisis. When I went from 300 to a million, I went through an identity crisis because I was now a woman that made $1 million a year, which is different than being a woman that makes $300,000 a year, which is different than making $400,000, $500,000, $600,000 a year. When you identify yourself as a person who is able to create a certain amount of value and a certain amount of income per year, it definitely changes how you see yourself and what your self-image is. And if the amount of money you're making doesn't match your self-image, something will have to give. Between those two models, you either go back to the other model or you will come forward to this one. So how do we navigate that? First and foremost, we understand it's coming. You will get to the point where you will be trying desperately to prove your current model true without even realizing that you're doing it. You will be fighting for your own limitations, and the people around you will be fighting for them too. I knew that that was unrealistic. You can't actually do that. This isn't working. You're not going to be able to do it. This was a fluke. All of these things that will come up in your brain. This is too hard. I'm working too hard. I've lost my focus. Whatever will happen, your brain will try its best to pull you back to the current model. The current model is inside the cave. The current model is safe. So if you understand this going in, you understand, oh, this is going to be scary for my brain because it will change me. I had this moment at 50 million. I had an identity crisis because halfway to 100 million, I'm on my way. There was some level of shift that happened to me. And I felt the difference between those two models, the difference between the $50 million model and the $100 million model. And my brain wants to keep me safe. It wants to keep me small. It wants to keep me in the cave. I feel it. It's like, you don't need to make any more money. The same thing happened with weight. You don't need to lose any more weight. You're already thin. You don't need to keep doing this. It's like the quiet, doubtful brain that is fighting for your life. But it's, I think, well-intentioned. I don't think it wants to keep you small because it doesn't like you. I think it wants to keep you small because it wants to keep you safe, because your brain is a survival brain. But when you shift to that prefrontal cortex, the highest part of your brain, that's what will pull you into what's possible. So as we go through our limits in our brain, as we pop through those limits, we're going to have identity crisis. We're going to freak out. We're going to have cognitive dissonance. We're going to try and self-sabotage. Be ready. First and foremost, just be ready. The second thing that you can do is understand that you will have to reestablish the way that you think about yourself, about other people, about money, and about the world every single time you go through a new one of those limits. Most people aren't rich because most people aren't willing to separate themselves from their tribe, from their group, from the connection of camaraderie that is normalness. So if you're in a group of people and you're all making about $150,000 a year, and that's kind of where you're at, or you're in a group of people and you all weigh about the same amount, you all eat about the same amount, there's going to be a common model. You're going to think the same. You're going to feel the same. You're going to do the same things, and you're going to have similar results. And you will all be supporting each other in those results without even realizing it. Now, this is a beautiful thing. When you are in a group of people that wants to remain safe, that is trying to survive, that wants the status quo, this is terrible when you're trying to grow exponentially, because there's nothing more frightening to the brain than being separated from the group. And as you become separated from the group, as you become different, and you see yourself as different, you see yourself as, I'm going to be someone that makes $1 million a year, and they're only going to make $150,000 a year. They will be, not even realizing it, pulling you back into that sameness, that comfortableness, that normalness. There is safety in numbers. When everyone agrees on everything, we can all stay the same. But as you pull away, in away from your group of people and the group think, as you pull away from the way that you've always thought, you are going to be so uncomfortable. And here's what's so crazy about that is doubt in that moment feels better than growth. So if I'm trying to make 100 million, someone says, you know, I don't even know if that's possible. I don't even know if she should try. Maybe she should just chill with the 50. That feels so good to me. I'm like, you know what? You're probably right. I should just chill. I should just stay here. I already went through all the cognitive dissonance to get here. Why would I go after that? And so the doubt feels better than the growth, because the growth is uncomfortable, because I have to question my thoughts. I have to question the sameness. I have to question what everyone around me thinks. So whenever I see myself, and this may be your first indicator, whenever I see myself in my action line sabotaging, not making offers, not showing up in a way that I, you know, not hire, for me right now, it's not hiring the people to support, not giving them the freedom they need to make those decisions, right? When I'm, or I'm not letting other people do their jobs, that's me sabotaging me. That's me not being at my highest level. And when I notice that A-line, I know for sure I'm having an upper limit sabotage imposter syndrome. And I just calm myself down. I'm like, Brooke, girl, you are going to have to get good at being richer. You're going to have to get good at being more successful. You're going to have to get good at allowing all this abundance into your life. Now, some of you, and you have to know how you sabotage. Some of you may just stop working. You may stop making offers. You may stop showing up. Maybe you're not creating content. Maybe you're not putting yourself out there as much as you should. Maybe for some of you, you're being sloppy in your work. You're not really thinking about your clients and creating the results that you want for them. What is it for each of you that you know you do when you're sabotaging yourself? You get lazy. You don't show up. And when you see that indicator, find the thought that you're not allowing yourself to believe. Now, I want to really help you with a couple things as it applies to imposter syndrome. So imposter syndrome is how you feel when you feel like you're in a life that you're not meant to be in, like you're an imposter in the rich people's lives or in the successful people's lives, right? You've kind of become an imposter in your own life because you look around, you don't even recognize, how do I have this much money? How do I have this much success? How do I have this many followers, this many clients, whatever it is? If you do the work that I recommend that you do, which is living from your future and going to your future and practicing your future before you're there, you will completely eliminate imposter syndrome because it will feel familiar when you actually arrive. You will feel like, this feels right. I have been preparing for this. I have been practicing this. I have been living in this life before I even got here. And you start dealing with your upper limit issues before you even arrive there. You start working through the challenges that come from being that person. So right now, a lot of you want to make $1 million, let's say, $1 million a year. So when you go to the place where you're making $1 million and you kind of try it on like it's an outfit and you spend some time in that space, it's going to feel weird. You're going to feel the doubt that this isn't going to happen. This, I'm not capable. This doesn't feel right. How did I do this? Nobody believes me, right? And you start dealing with this now ahead of time. You start understanding the thoughts that are going to come up, the doubt that comes up, the disbelief that comes up, and you start dealing with it ahead of time. And you start processing all of that doubt. So you don't want to cling on to it when growth is scarier than doubt. You understand it. And you start becoming, I swear this happens, I've already started becoming the woman that makes $100 million a year. I already sense it. I already live it. I'm already in the space of it. So when it happens, there may be a shift. There may be that identity shift, but it won't be this huge, crazy, mind-boggling thing. If you look at people that win the lottery, it happens too fast. If you look at people that lose weight too quick, it happens too fast. The mind doesn't have a chance to adjust to the identity, right? That the result has happened too quickly without the preparation, without the anticipation, without the practice of being the rich person. It like is thrown upon them. That's why so many people gain all the way back, why so many lottery winners lose all their money, because their brain hasn't been prepared for being the person. And this is for people that win 100 million, 10 million, 1 million, it doesn't matter. It is a different identity. The money that you create in the world, the money that you have in the world is part of your self-image. It's part of your identity. And you have to become a person that can handle it. And you can say, oh, I can handle it. I have no problem handling money. Really? How do you know that? When you get money, do you spend it or can you have it? Can you be in the presence of it? When you think about making $1 million, does that seem like crazy astronomical amount or does that feel normal, like part of what you should be doing? That practice will help you with that. So watch your sabotage now. And that's going to be in that A line of that new model where you're going to start to sabotage yourself. And understand when you're in between models, it's a river of misery. It feels very uncomfortable because you're being pulled to safety, pulled to doubt, and pulled to growth. And you just got to keep moving forward. So when you notice yourself sabotaging, that's that A line. Just be aware of it, correct it, keep moving forward. Identify what is the feeling that you are going to need in order to accept the new life that is you with money. You wealthy. What is that like? Here's one of the things that will help you get there. I know this seems crazy, but think about the downside. Some of you are already sabotaging because you're anticipating the downside. Lots of people asking you for money all of the time. People expecting you to pay for everything all of the time. You being able to buy and purchase and travel and be in places that other people can't afford. Very separating. The richer you get, the more separated you are in some ways from the rest of the people around you. Are you prepared for that? Can you make sense of that? Can you make peace with that? I'll give you an example. One of the things for me that I had to really make peace with in terms of being single and being very wealthy is how much that limits the kind of my dating pool in terms of people that feel comfortable with that. Men that feel comfortable dating a woman who makes so much money and they're not making that much money. It's a thing. It's a big thing. And it would be much easier, which seems crazy, but it would be much easier if I had a lot less money for me to date. And so what are the other downsides that you need to prepare for yourself personally, for yourself emotionally, with your family, with the people around you, the expectations? Are there people that will think, oh, well, she just thinks she's so great and she's just so rich. Will you want to hide it? Is there any shame around it? And people are like, oh, I'll deal with that when I get there. No, because that will prevent you from getting there if that is something that you're anticipating feeling. So go to the place where you've already made that money and kind of settle in. Be like, what'll be different? What will it be like for the people around me? What will it be like for me with my friends? What will it be like for me with my mom? What will it be like for me with my dad, for my siblings, for my coworkers, for my clients? Like, what will be some of the downsides of that? And what will that feel like? And when you have a plan for that ahead of time, when you've anticipated that ahead of time, you'll be able to manage for that. All of these kind of concepts and ideas can feel real, but none of them are. There's really no reason why you should stop at some upper limit. It's just a thought you're having. You shouldn't stop because you feel imposter syndrome. It's not really even a thing. You just are having a thought that you don't belong in this new identity, in this new life. And that will lead to the self-sabotage. It's okay if other people have negative opinions about you. It's not a problem. They can be upset about your success. You guys have heard me say this quote, if someone's going to be unhappy about your life, it shouldn't be you. And I will tell you from personal experience, being able to create money in your own life for yourself is one of the most powerful things you can do. It puts you in a position to make very powerful decisions. And I highly recommend that you do, that you put yourself in a place of responsibility where you can make those powerful decisions. So for the rest of this session today, I would love to open it up to coaching for all of you on any money issue that you have that has come up during this class that you anticipate having in the future. I want to try and cover all of the topics. If you're currently dealing with imposter syndrome or upper limit issues, if you have all the money coming in and you're not sure if, you know, or you've had the money come in and you have sabotaged yourself, I'd love to coach you. Just raise your hand. This will be, and then if you have questions, you can go ahead and put them in the Q&A. Why would you tell them how much you make? This is Rachel saying, why would you tell people how much you make? I prefer to let them wonder. Okay, I'll tell you two reasons why I tell people how much I make. I tell people how much I make because Amy Porterfield, one of my sisters, told me how much she made and inspired me to make more. I didn't know that it was possible to make as much money as she was making, and it inspired me, and I want to make more. And so I want to do that for all my sisters in the world. I want to, and brothers, like I want to tell everyone that we can all make way more money than we've been told that we can make. And also, I feel like there's a lot of people that don't make a lot of money that pretend like they do because of shame. And there's a lot of people who make a lot of money and pretend like they don't because of shame. And I always think the truth is the most beautiful place to live. And I think making people wonder about how much money you make doesn't have an upside. And I think the truth always has an upside. And the Regina says, how do you prepare for what has not yet happened? You basically pretend, like you practice. You go into it's kind of like practicing for a sport event that hasn't yet happened. You're preparing yourself for that day when that event will happen. And then you're ready for it. That's basically what I say. Okay, who wants coaching? Let's see, raise your hands. All right, Vesna, let's start with you.
Hi, Brooke.
Hi.
Congrats on your son. That's amazing.
Right? So awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you're his mama. So you're me. I mean, it's just
right. I take amazing. All credit.
You should. Mom should. Thanks for bringing me on. So you coached me about just a month ago, and I shared that I've decided to leave my corporate career of 20 years and go full-time into health and nutrition coaching. And my goal for the year is really to replace my salary that I've made in 20 years in a year while coaching. And my brain is sort of playing with me where when I set that goal, it almost seems like it's too easy. And the reason why I say that is because I've had a lot of new clients sign up, and I've put myself out there, and I've watched all your bookkeeping entrepreneur, like that's what I started with. And I've taken so many notes, but lots of them here.
Amazing.
It's working. Like what you teach is working, almost to a point where my brain is like, how can it be this easy? Mm-hmm. And then I had this opportunity where I will be doing a webinar through my work, and it's already set up with all this audience. Like I'm not even having to advertise. I'm going to have all these people there, and I have this opportunity, and it's like, I just can't even keep up with how fast it's happening. My brain is just freaking out. And
yeah.
So I don't know. Can you help me?
Yeah, no, I mean, this is exactly what we've been talking about today, right? It's like, be careful. It's like, be careful what you wish for, because you may get it. And I had that year where I went from 5 to 17 million, where everything was just, that was crazy. Like that was a huge milestone, like that happened so fast. And it's kind of like what you're saying. It's like, why didn't anyone tell us that it could be this easy? And I actually felt the exact same way when I learned that I wasn't really overeating. I was just under feeling. And then I lost all my weight. Like I was just like, why didn't anyone tell me this before? Like, this is so mind boggling. Mm-hmm. And also it's amazing. Yeah. I mean, are you having fun? Let's talk about that for a minute.
I am. I'm just, the more I show up in what I want to coach, the more clients I attract. It just seems like my brain is saying, are you really going to have capacity to take on more clients? Like I had a goal and I never met it last year. And then in December, in 1 month, I made everything, basically what I made through the entire year. Yeah. And then now it seems like, well, actually you could double. And then I'm thinking, am I going to be able to create the value for my clients that they deserve? I just want to love on them, and I want to give them 100% value, and almost like blow their minds with how much value they get through the program. And that's what I'm hearing from them, and they're loving it. And I love that part. That part is fun. But how do I, can you help me sort of process, and maybe this is helpful for others in the call, but like, how do I process when my brain, it's almost like I flipped really quickly from intentional to from unintentional to intentional model. Yeah. And I just catch myself with my thoughts. And then I immediately try to say, it's fine. Like I haven't worked through all of the steps, like jumping from one to the other. And I don't know if I'm missing, if I'm kind of going too fast.
I mean, here's the good news. If you don't work through a model, it'll stay there and keep coming back. Right. So I think as we're growing, like it's interesting. One of the women that's here with me watching golf, she has a wedding business. She does wedding planning. And she was telling me that she has a certain price. I think it's like $10,000, $3,000 or $1,000. And she was basically saying like, you know, the $1,000 clients, I just want to keep them because, you know, I connect with them and I really like them and I want to give them tremendous amount of value. And that's just part of who I am, like seeing herself as a good person in doing that. And I was like, that's dumb. She was like, what? I was like, that's ridiculous. Why would you do that? You're providing a $10,000 service to clients who can afford you at the highest level. And you're spending that same time and energy with a $1,000 client. You're not creating the business that you need to be creating. You need to be creating value at this level. So when you get to the point, it's very similar to your business. Like you're like, am I going to have the capacity? Yes. Cause you're going to raise your prices. Right. And as soon as you raise your prices, you will lose a lot of the clients that can't afford you, and you will bring on the clients that can. So it's not like you just keep adding, and you get to some point where you can't add anymore. And then you raise your prices or you put them in a group together. And that's how the trajectory happens. But I watch it happen with all people who do this, right? Because they're like, I don't know if I want to go to groups because I want to give all the value. I want to give all the value one-on-one. I went through the same thing. So when I was coaching, or when I first started teaching coaches, it was 1 to 10 in person. So I'd bring 10 people in and I would teach them all in person over a 6-day period. And my coach was like, you can't grow doing that. Like, you're going to have to, you know, make it at least 25 people and you're going to have to raise the price. And I was like, there is no way. The price was $3,000 or something very ridiculous. And he's like, you should double the price and make it 25 people. And I will never forget. I'm like, it's impossible. There's no way I could serve that many people and they could get that much value. Well, now, of course, we do thousands of people and it's a lot more money and it's at a such higher level. So just be careful not to think that you can't give tremendous value at scale.
So can I just ask one clarifying
point?
So do you, in those moments when you decide I'm going to increase the price, do you just tell yourself, like, we'll figure it out? I mean, you only know after you've done it. I know I've heard you say that, and that's proven true in my life. So do you just decide and you say, this is what we're doing, and you move forward with it, and then let all the emotions come up and you just process them as they come up? Okay.
I mean, the good news is like when I was doing coaching 101, you can't do it anymore. Like I was coaching 8 hours a day and I had a crazy waiting list. It was just like, okay, like so many people want to get served that can't. And the people that I am serving, I'm getting underpaid for at this point. And so, because you have to remember, like, you get better at it as you coach more and as you see more clients. And so your prices should go up as you develop. And I will say, you have to remember, the brain doesn't want to let go of anyone. It wants to help everyone. Right. And so my podcast helps me with that because I can help everyone for free through the podcast at a really high level, but I can't help everyone at the level that, you know, is scholars or coach training. You know, I can't help everyone at that same level. So.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You got it. This is part of the process. You're right on track. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. Who's next? Let's go, Rachel. We got Rachel. Hi.
Oh my gosh. Hello. Excited to talk to you.
Yay.
So I have to tell you about the most awesome thought you ever offered me.
Okay.
I did the live coach training in June. And at the end, I think it was towards the end, you were asking us, like, what are your concerns? What are your worries? And I said, I raised my hand and I said, I'm just so worried I'll neglect my kids. And you were like, just decide, I'll never neglect my kids. And I was like, oh my gosh, she's right. If anything, I'll neglect my business. And then I started seeing the millions of ways I was neglecting my business way more than I was neglecting my kids. And I was like, those kids, I'm spoiling them. I'm doing the opposite of neglecting them. And I started realizing how I was neglecting my business at times and myself at times and like, you know, just always being at their beck and call. And I was like, anyway, so that thought has helped me so much, but
I'm so glad.
As I'm wanting to grow. Yeah. It's been amazing. Thank you. As I'm growing my coaching practice and I'm like laying the whole foundation of that right now. I still feel this pull. And I know part of it is like compensating for my own childhood where my mom was like, always working. She's just not like a typical mom. Like, I've overcompensated completely by becoming the mom that's like always there, always doing stuff for my kids. And I already have a real estate career. So I dealt with that before, but now I'm keeping the real estate career and adding coaching. So now it's like next level, like you were saying. It's kind of how do I balance this now and still be the mom I want to be? And I just feel like that's going to be my biggest roadblock. I can see me making the money. I know I have a good product. I know sales. So I feel confident about all of that. I just feel like I'm going to go when there's a conflict in my heart between the kids and the business, that's where I'm going to get stuck. I think,
I think you just have to recognize this. Is it a real conflict or is it part of, because you could utilize that to sabotage, right? And I've watched people do that with their own kids. It's like they don't pursue their own dreams and their own happiness at the sake of the kids. And you know, my mom did that with me a lot. Like, she just wanted to be available to me all the time. So she didn't really pursue her own thing. But I remember listening to Abraham talk about this, and they were like, the best gift you have to give your kids is your own happiness and an example of what is possible. And so for me, that really changed things around. Like, being an example to them of a life well lived is as important as being there for them. And I do both. Like, my kids are I'm in a hotel room right now. My kids are in the other room. My grown ass kids now too. Right. But you know, we're all here, right? Right. Yeah. We're all here. You know, I'm teaching you and running my company from in here. And then I'm also watching Christian play golf and spending time with my family. Like, I do think you can have it all in that sense. But I think a lot of times we tell ourselves we have to make that choice. And we really don't. And it's okay sometimes to not be present with the kids. And it's okay sometimes not to be present with the business. And you just have to balance, I think, in your mind. It's not even a real balancing act. It's in your mind. Are those things okay with you? Because if you use your kids as an excuse not to pursue your dreams, I think that's as bad, like neglecting yourself and your business is as bad as neglecting them. So
yeah, in a way, you know, that is kind of neglecting them, because
yeah, in some yeah, ways it really is, because they're not grown. Getting the best version of you. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
my kids, like my youngest started college this fall. I'm an empty nester. I have six kids, so yeah. It's like, why is it bad for them to see me working? Why do I think that, you know?
I think you know why, right? It's the way you were raised. And your identity has been solely their mom, right? You've been so focused on that now we're kind of shifting that identity. Don't underestimate, like, the brain is freaked out by anything like that, right? And so what you're feeling, I think, is very normal, but you just have to, it's exactly what we talked about today. It's like, you just have to monitor your own self-sabotage, your own, because like, you can still be an extraordinary mom. In fact, you probably will be more of an extraordinary mom if you're not all up in their business as adults.
Yes.
That's what my kids would say to me.
Yeah. They don't want have your own life for them. Like, get out of my business unless I need you for something.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And I do think it's really cool to have a mom that brings their life to the relationship. Like, they have something to talk about. They have something to offer. They are growing. They're changing. They're, you know, becoming more interesting in their own life by being challenged by all of these things, I think, is an opportunity. But when you feel that, oh, maybe this means you're not being a good mom, it might just be your brain, like, looking for ways.
Staying in the cave.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. I have to tell you one very quick thing, which is that with life coach training, now that I've been through it and now that I have access to the certified site, I would have paid for that twice. Like, you literally undersold and over-delivered. That was what held me back. I'm glad I went when I did. So it was okay that I didn't understand more of what it was and what it meant for me. But really, now that I've learned everything I've learned, like, I was really experienced being coached, but learning it from the coach's side has been amazing.
It's different.
And when I see all the value in the certified site, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is such a bargain.
Yay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for telling me that. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Brooke.
You hear that? Bye. She'd pay twice, y'all.
I would. I really would have.
That's awesome. Okay. Who's next? Who we got? Let's go, Karen. How do I get out of scarcity? I know I need to spend money to make money, but it scares me. The reason why it scares you, Katie, is because you don't think you'll make money. Spending money when you believe you'll make money isn't scary. Spending money when you think you'll never see it again, that's scary. So you just need to change your thought. All right. What you got, Karen?
Hi, Brooke. So I have a business that's thriving pretty well. I support parents of children with autism.
Okay.
And I have a membership program in over 40 countries. And in 2021, it really escalated actually during the pandemic because everything's online. And so, but then last year, of course, you know, kind of this way for a lot of people, but things really dropped in revenue. And so I'm rebuilding. I ironically, in June of last year, hired a marketing team. And as soon as I hired the marketing team, revenue and my future launches dropped, and they're expensive per month, I know. So I actually, after about 4 months with the first marketing team, I dropped them, hired a new one because this one's based on data. And the same one Amy Porterfield uses and things like that too. So I thought, okay. And it's very data driven. We're looking at more creativity sometimes, I think, but you know, things are still like just kind of at status quo. They haven't really grown. And I'm wondering sometimes,
how much do you want to make?
My goal for this year is to make $1 million this year.
Okay.
In 2021, I made almost $500,000. Last year was about 300. Or actually $500,000 2021, and last year was closer to about 300,000. So it dropped a lot. So what I'm wondering, and I do a lot of subconscious work. I do emotion code and Psych K and, you know, all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I know Abraham well, and I kind of wonder, like, am I somehow getting in my own way? Like every time I'm really making money, something kind of drops back, or I hire a new marketing team that's taking.
Well, let's talk about it. Let's talk about why you went from 5 to 3.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me.
Well, it was right when I hired the marketing team. Then they switched and said, you know what? You've been doing this masterclass where I taught, I was just listening to you talk to this other woman. I teach for 4 hours for free. And then I have a program where I charge $97 a month, which I could charge way more, but because I actually have lived this myself. I recovered my own son from autism when they told me it wasn't possible. So I know the struggles and the financial pressure. And, you know, I try not to focus. I'm focusing on prosperity-minded coming into my program, but there is.
Okay, but wait, you got to stay really focused. Stay with me for a minute. What was the difference between 5 and 3? Just one sentence.
Marketing?
But what specifically? Like, how did the revenue drop 200K?
Less people joining the membership during my quarterly launches.
Okay. And why were less people joining? Were you launching exactly the same?
No.
Okay.
I changed from doing the masterclass to doing an hour webinar on the direction of this marketing team.
Okay.
And now the new marketing team is saying same thing. People are wanting more bite size. Not so much long things. The masterclass had started having slightly lower signups, you know, because it's long. Yeah. So we're cutting it down. Now I have a promotion going on this month. You'll appreciate this. 30 days for $30 to basically just give them a resource a day, get their feet wet, give them a lot of value for kind of a no-brainer price. And then we're going to, if they then promote the main membership, you know, it's actually just open so that if they want to take the next steps, then they can, and will even put that money toward their membership. So
I mean, this is what you have to do. And this is for everyone. This is super helpful. Like if you go down in money, like what was that about? Okay. We stopped doing the masterclass and I hired a marketing company. Okay. If I had to explain my drop in revenue as a personal thought that changed for me, one sentence that changed in my brain, if you can identify what that one sentence is, you can change it and you can move forward. My recommendation for you for wanting to make $1 million, since you've already made 5 and 3, like what would it take to get your business to 5 million? I would have longer term 5 million vision and the 1 million shorter vision, because even just the way you're talking about marketing, it's like, oh, people are wanting bite-sized chunks. Let's do it this way. Let's do it that way. Like that bigger vision is what is going to have to pull you, right? And so obviously you have a great product that people are benefiting from. You're making hundreds of thousands of dollars. And once you're making hundreds of thousands of dollars, it really is just tweaks.
Yeah. And that's where I'm here. What do I need to tweak? Like, is there any, you know, like anything else that I can be doing? And it's so funny.
I don't think it's a marketing issue. I don't think you have a marketing issue. I think you have a brain issue. And that's so hard for people to hear, right? Because they're like, I'm like, why did you make less money? If you're explaining it, you can explain it with your A-line for sure. Sure. But we still have to identify what was the thought that caused you to change your masterclass and get a new, you know, marketing company and to let the marketing company change everything that made you less money. It's not like we want to blame them at all. We want to be the root of all of our own problems, because if we're the root, we get to solve them. So do you understand like what that thought might have been? Like, how did you feel about making $500,000?
Great. I mean, it was more than at one point in my life I thought I would be making. And now, like I said, I call myself, I'm $5 million Karen. That's so funny you said five, because the goal is to make five. And so I thought, okay, for this year, the goal be one. So skip the goal for 1 million for this year. Just say my goal is 5 million. And I mean, isn't there with the whole,
this is a great, great question. Okay. The reason why we have the $5 million goal, just like I have the $100 million goal, right, is so we can live there. Okay. We can still have the $1 million goal, but it's not as important, because the $1 million goal is going to get you into tactics and get you, maybe get you caught up in scarcity, which I don't mind. You have to have some tactics. You have to have some strategies. You have to know what is data driven and what's working. But I want you to spend time in your brain in the $5 million identity. So when you make less money, you're completely puzzled, because you've been living as $5 million. So a lot of people want to set goals and then they immediately are looking at the timeline and what they need to do to create that. That's not why we're setting the 5 million. You're going to be the $5 million Karen, right? You, who is that? How does she act different? How does she respond to this? What does she do with these marketing companies, and how does she make decisions? Because we don't want to just get you back to 500K. We want to get you to a million, which is a much bigger, different leap. So you got to try bigger, more profound, more significant things in order to get there, would be my guess. But your mindset has to be in a position where it can handle it.
And what are the more significant things? Like, I love the membership model, because it does give me a lot of free time, and it's all
done. What does $5 million Karen say about what are the specific things?
Really just, you know, increasing the membership. I'm always wanting to grow the numbers of members in the membership and, you know, retaining and all of that. So, and there are literally millions of people that need and want what I have. I need to find me. So that's part of my new, the mantra is, you know, that they easily find me, and I have it, you know, something that I say to myself regularly, but it's really bringing them in. And then I look at, you know, my price, and then I think, should I raise it? And then I'm like, you know, I actually, most of the time I'll say feel okay about it. Sometimes I think I really am underpriced, you know, for what I offer. You know,
I feel like I'm underpriced too. I actually like being underpriced, and I like just finding more people.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's
people to help, especially for what you're offering.
So just have my mantra, just continue to be, I'm $5 million Karen, and those who are positive minded, prosperity minded, and, you know, committed, easily find me, join the membership immediately with certainty. That's what
I mean. I like a mantra, but the way you say it, the way you just said it, didn't make me feel you. And so here's what matters with mantras. Like, I really do like them. I like affirmations, but only if they're used properly. And you have to say them while you're sitting in the throne of your $5 million and really believing them. Because if you say them kind of memorized and you're not feeling them, it's not going to create the results that you want. You love Abraham. Yeah. You got to create the vibration of what you're saying.
Right.
So I would never even say the mantra, even if you're repeating it to somebody, unless you're feeling it, right? Like really being in the presence of it. So like understanding who you are at 5 million and how you are different than you are now.
And I guess part of that is the learning process. Like, what exactly am I like at 5 million?
Yes.
Right.
I mean, like being there, like, oh, this feels different. Yeah.
I mean, I had a good taste of it the year I made, you know, almost $500,000, because because it gives you a lot of freedom, you know, the travel, the buying the house, the, you know, all of the things. So, it's just, I kind of like, okay, well, what is my mindset thing? Do more Psych K and emotion code work to you know, pull out whatever.
But the answer to that question, this is really helpful, actually. The answer to that question doesn't come from you pondering from $500,000 Karen, which is what you're doing. Do you guys see that? We can like ponder, I wonder what that's like, versus going to the place, like even just mentally, consciously going to the place where we're already there. And like, I know it seems weird, but it's like looking around. It's like you're in a dream. Mm-hmm. Like, what is happening? What am I feeling? What is going on? It's a different, you're identifying as her to answer the question, not being like, huh, I wonder what that'll be like. That's weird. Mm-hmm. It's different. So if you can embody yourself, and I know that it sounds kind of esoteric, I know it sounds kind of weird, but like, there will be a time when you will make $5 million. Mm-hmm. What will that be like? Be her now. What kind of decisions will she make? How will she act differently? Will she dress differently? What will it be like to have that many people in your membership? Will you have more employees? Who will you be talking to? Will you have the same marketing company? Does $5 million Karen hire this marketing company? Why or why not? Mm-hmm. That's the kind of energy you want to create around identifying yourself as the rich person.
Is there something in your, I'm new here. So is there something in the scholars area that would be, is a really good place for me to go to kind of get a little bit more on how to create that future me? Like,
so all of the Extraordinary Life videos and all of the money videos. But what I would recommend you do is have a coaching session with your coach. What if you haven't done it this week, do it this week, and tell them that all you want to do during your coaching session is identify from your future self, and let them kind of take you through that process and help you.
Okay.
That would be really good.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right, my friends. All right. $5 million Karen. All right, my beautiful friends, thank you so much for all of the amazing feedback we've gotten on this class. I'm so happy that you've enjoyed it as much as I've enjoyed teaching you. We are going to be talking a lot about money, making money, identifying from your future self, creating a possible life for yourself that's beyond where you currently are. I genuinely want to help as many people as I can get rich. That is my mission. So that will be part of all of this year in Scholars, in Get Coach. We are going to be working on that. So if you're interested in that, definitely stay tuned. Have a beautiful, gorgeous day, everyone. I'm about to go out into the Sea of Hawaii. I'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.